And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And then in verse 24, the Bible says, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again and our fellowship time now. And I pray as the preaching goes forth, our hearts are prepared, our minds ready. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, your will be done here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week, most of you were here last week, or a lot of you were here last week. We had a new family, Michael and Carrie, and little Rory was there. Carrie had to take Rory upstairs and put him up there. He was to stay with him. I went up to ask her if she could come down. She didn't think she could get away from him, but she can hear me on and see the video. And they wanted to join the church. And I met with them. We talked about things, about their salvation and that type of thing. And when they met, they said, Hey, you know, have you ever done baby dedication? And I said, No, I actually haven't done one. I've had people talk about it. And I'll tell you why it usually never comes around to getting done, but in just a second. But I thought, boy, this would be great to do. We've been kind of on the family theme. We had Mother's Day here a few weeks back. Then a week after that, I preached about a family situation with Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve raising their children, you know, first murder and family, I guess, family crisis, if you want to say, took place there. And then we have Mother's Day here coming up, or Father's Day, excuse me, coming up in a couple of weeks. And so I thought, well, right here would be good. This would be great. A baby dedication. And, you know, thinking about that, there's several biblical accounts. We just saw one right here in our text today. John the Baptist, he was brought to the temple to be presented. Jesus was as well when he was a child. And so today we just kind of look at Samuel. The title of the message is Dedication. And, you know, we're going to do a few other things different at the end. But I want to talk to you about that, about a baby dedication. Sometimes we think about it. It's not baptism, but we don't do infant baptism because it's the Bible is teaching believers baptism, where somebody's made a conscious choice to follow Jesus. And, of course, the baby wouldn't be able to do that yet. But a baby dedication. So the very first point is just commitment there. And I talked to Carrie and Michael about this when we talked about it. And I said, you know, a baby dedication is really more of a dedication from the parents than it is from the baby. Obviously, we've got a baby. A baby can't dedicate himself. We gave Rory a little New Testament and Psalms little Bible here some month or so ago, month that we like to give the babies. And I told him, I was messing with him out there. I said, all right, Rory, have you read all the New Testament yet? You know, you're not gonna get dedicated today unless you've completed that task, you know. But I don't, he just grinned and smiled, and he didn't say one way or the other. But it's, you know, we're really looking at a commitment from the parents. And this is why a lot of times people say, well, listen, you do baby dedication. I say, yeah, I'll do them if the parents are going to be committed. It does us no good whatsoever to say, well, we're going to dedicate the baby, yet the parents themselves are not dedicated to the Lord. You know, it's counterproductive there. It's going to be because of the influence, mom and dad, the influence that you have on your child's life. I mean, they got some statistics. I forget what they are, but I think it's by the time a kid is 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, you know, they've learned a whole lot of what they're going to learn in life as far as things go. That impact that you have on a child that small is influences their life forever, impacts their life forever. And so, listen, the act of dedication will not make a child a Christian any more than baptism. You know, you can go out here and get baptized in every creek and river between here and the East Coast, and that's not going to make you a Christian. Some said like this, said, you know, you can put a bicycle in a garage, but it doesn't turn it into an automobile. You know, it's still a bicycle, right? So the same thing, a church membership, baptism doesn't make anybody a Christian necessarily, or not at all. But it's just a beginning. All it is, it's really a foundation. It's a starting point. And I'll say more about what the parents, you know, will do or how that works with that. But it's a commitment. Really from the parents. This is what the parents are saying, that we want to be committed to raising our child, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a good thing, by the way, why to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7 says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. So we see there admonition there to teach our children those things, children, grandchildren. So we think about Hannah made this vow. She said, I'm going to make a vow. That's a commitment. You know, she prayed for a man child. She didn't have a child. A man child was really important. That was your insurance policy. That was your adult care down the road when you got older. You know, assisted living plan was having male. Males were the working group. They were the ones that did what, you know, did that. And so it's a commitment there. And I'm going to tell you what, the parents need to be an example in front of their children as they raise them. We need fathers that have to pray, fathers that have to teach. Is everything okay? You got to go to the hospital?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You going to take yourself, or you want us to get it? Okay. Y'all help him, help him out. My preaching has this kind of effect on people all the time, I mean. All right, okay. We'll go down there and get it checked out. You sure you can drive and we don't need to get you an ambulance? Okay. Keep him straight there, Rose. Knocking him out today, as usual. Yeah, we had this a while back, things like that happen. We had... Who was it that got all woozy-headed? Sissy? Or? Oh, Rhonda. Yeah, Rhonda got all woozy-headed over there. Man, she scared us. But she was okay. That's okay. I was wondering what was going on. I saw somebody talking there to him. All right. Back to the commitment by the parents. Let's take a minute here and just pray for Tom. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, be with Tom. Lord, said his heart's acting strange. Lord, give him a touch. Give him traveling mercies. Help him get to the hospital, Lord, and get checked out. We pray for him to have strength to get himself there. And, Lord, meet every need that he has. Be with Rose as she helps him along. And we'll just trust you for the outcome. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. One of the things that parents have to do, you know, as far as being dedicate your children to the Lord, is to set the example in front of their children, how to raise them. I mean, there's nothing, you know, because we can, my parents, they used to have a saying, those of you that grew up in my generation, you remember the parents would say this sometimes. It's a false thing to say. Don't do as I do as I say do. Did everybody hear anybody say that? How stupid is that? Do as I, you know, set the example and do as, you know, they should see. I'm going to tell you something right now. Father's Day's coming up. Fathers, I'll get you on Father's Day. But I'm going to give you a little heads up on it right now. Your children need to see you pray. They need to hear you pray. I talked to one time right out there in the foyer. I was trying to encourage the men of the church to pray with their wives. A lot of men said, well, I pray, but I don't pray with my wife. I don't let Sherry go out the door in the morning without, we don't pray together. I'll pray with her, pray for her. I don't pray with my wife. And this man had a grown daughter in her 20s. I said, wouldn't you love to hear your father pray? She said, yep, yeah. I love to see it. Love to hear that. Love to see my father pray, hear my father pray. I mean, that's how you set the example for your children. You know, everything they're going to learn about being a godly man or a godly woman is going to come from the parents. I mean, that's just the way it is, and they got to see it by example. I mean, your faith has to be, you can say that you have faith, and the Bible talks about it. Saying it and living it's two different things. I mean, you've got to have a living faith. I mean, your children, if you want your children to be dedicated to the Lord, they had best better see that you were dedicated to the Lord. You've got to live your life a living faith, where there's no doubt about who you're putting your trust in. Man, you've got, you know, listen, a whole lot of whining and complaining about everything and a whole lot of belly aching and a whole lot of worrying. Good grief, Christians are the worst worriers in all the world. Then we shouldn't be worrying and all those things right there. Listen, don't, you know, we can't live our life like that if it's a true living faith. Man, we have to have a living faith that our children see where they know. They said, you know what? And I hope when I go, the Lord don't come back, that my kids can stand at my grave and say, you know what? I know my dad was saved. You know that he lived, his faith was real. You know that he lived that in his life. They need to see that in your life. I mean a practicing faith where you have dependence on God and you have trust in God and you have devotion. It talked about that when in Deuteronomy there, that text, sitting down, talking about this with your children, talking about God, the creation that you see, what God has done, what God is doing in your life. It can't be something that God did in your life 40 years ago before they were born. They've got to see it in your life now. They've got to see that God is doing something in your life, and it's and seeing is everything. Seeing it, we're in a video age. You know, everything's on video. You got to have it on, and we see it. Listen, it sticks with you, and it does. It does stick with you. Our minds are that way, or geared up that way. Well, your children have to see it as well. You have to be dedicated, and it has to be seen. Listen, a ceremony will be worthless without a commitment in your life that you already have. That dedication has to already exist in your life. So we see a commitment, and it's a real commitment by the parents because if you, like I said, the simple nuts and bolts of it is, you can say, well, I'm dedicating my baby to the Lord, but you're not committed to the Lord, and you're going to raise that child in a household that's not committed to the Lord. Do you think that baby's going to be dedicated to the Lord when it grows up? Not that it couldn't be, but the chances are slim and none that they won't be. So we see a commitment. The second thing that we see is a confirmation. When a parent's desire to dedicate their child to the Lord, it's a confirmation of their supreme love for God. Not too many people, when they start thinking about really what they're doing, we want to dedicate our child to the Lord. That's a confirmation that they love the Lord. That's on their mind. That's on their thought in their life. And you look at Samuel's parents, his father Elkanah, he was a Levite. The Levites took care of all the business around the tabernacle and the temple. They did the work around there, whatever needed to be doing. They served God. Their inheritance was the Lord, as a matter of fact. They didn't get the land like the rest of them did that God provided for them, but they didn't get it the same way. And so he was a Levite. So here's a guy that was dedicated to serving the Lord. Here was a guy that he took his family to worship. I like that. I like it when the dad takes the family to worship. Ain't nothing wrong with the mothers doing it. Listen, if the daddy ain't going to do it, mom, you do it. I'm going to get you, fathers, you get the double dose because Father's Day's coming up. But listen, there's nothing like a family where the father's leading the family to God. I'm going to tell you what, they got stats on it. I think I've quoted them maybe last year or year before. They got stats that when the father gets saved, what the odds are, the chances are that his children are going to get saved down the road, and it's a whole lot greater than if just the mother gets saved. I don't know why that is, but it's because God created the man to be the leader of the family, and the man needs to be the leader of the family. The moms can do it. It's not saying the moms can't do it, and sometimes the moms have to do it, but this is God's order of things. God made Adam first, and then he made Eve to be a helpmate to Adam. That's the way he made them. And so the man leading the family, boy, what an impact that has on the family as well. Just like I said, there's that girl stood there and said, she'd have loved. I said, wouldn't you love to hear your daddy pray? She said, yes, I would. She's up in her 20s already, never heard her dad pray. And I'm sure that applies in a lot of places, in a lot of families as well. And then we see Hannah. She called herself a handmaid several times there in the text that I read, and even throughout what I didn't read. And that means that she was a servant. She was a servant of God. We see already, we know she was a praying woman. It wasn't one of them mealy mouth, now I lay me down to sleep prayers. Man, she prayed. She had a burden on her heart. Man, she was trusting God. She poured her soul out, she said. That's different than pouring words out of your mouth. But when you pour your soul out to God, and so she was a praying woman. I believe she prayed because she was a believing woman. I mean, she really believed God could do something about it. Crying out loud, man, if God could give Sarah at 90 years old having a child, please, Lord, don't bless me at that age that way. But if God could give Sarah a child at 90 years old, man, she believed that God could do it. And so she believed in God. And then we see that she was a patient woman. She was waiting on God. She was trusting God. And, so think about Hannah's prayer. Think about the impact that Hannah's prayer. We got one little child. We got one little baby that we're going to dedicate here. We got the family. We're getting the parents dedicated right now, so to speak. We're going to be. But think about that one prayer that this woman prayed. You don't think your prayer has any impact, how important it is. Her prayer changed her whole family. It changed her whole family, and her prayer changed a nation because of the child, the blessing that she received when Samuel was born. And buddy, he was the prophet of prophets in that day. I mean, man, he directed that nation spiritually when they didn't have no kings. He was the one that they looked to for direction as a nation. They'd probably been better off if Samuel had stayed directing that nation instead of when they got Saul. But anyway, that just think about that. This one child, this one woman praying for a man child. That's what she wanted. She gave him back to God, and that changed her whole life, and it changed the life of that whole nation. Man, we don't, a lot of times I know parents, you have a child and you look at that child and you've got hopes, expectations, man, you got dreams. You hope, you know, man, boy, I hope he plays in the NFL or he does something, or maybe even I hope he's a great preacher, or I hope whatever it is that you have dreams for, you know, you want the best for them. But you know what? You might not even have an idea what your child, what God could do to a child that's dedicated, that's dedicated to him. And so, there was an old song. It said, if I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear my mother pray again, huh? There's a lot of folks listening, man. Wouldn't you love to? Could you sing that song? Can your children, let me ask you this, let's put it this way, get it more personal. Can your children sing that song? I'd love to hear, or will they be able to sing that song? I'd love to hear my mother pray again. If I could hear my mother pray again, they should be able to. Hopefully they can. They'll be able to say that one day, to hear their mother praying for them. And what a testimony that is. And then, we think we put a lot of blame on the nation today, on the government. Well, the way things are in our nation, we put a lot of blame on the government. But our nation is suffering because parents have not given priority to eternal values. We've given priority to external, temporary values, money, fame, fortune, those type things right there. Samuel's parents had a relationship with God. It was a living faith, a practicing faith, a trusting faith. They believed in the power of God. And, you know, when you look at Hannah, when Eli, the priest, and listen, the spiritual climate of Israel at that time was very low. Eli wasn't really trusting God as much as he should have. His sons were wicked. They were wicked sons that they should have been the next priest, but they were so wicked they ended up getting killed by God. But all that aside, Here was Eli. Look, the nation was so wicked when he saw Hannah down there moving her lips but wasn't saying nothing. He thought she was drunk. That means they had drunk people coming to the temple. He went down there and talked to her about it too, but she wasn't drunk. She could have gotten mad about that. She could have got mad, stormed out of the temple. Well, he thought I was drunk, that preacher, and he stormed out there and all that, but no, she didn't. She just said, no, I'm not drunk. No, I'm not drunk as you suppose. She said, I'm just pouring my soul out to God. She didn't get mad, buddy. She stayed right there and prayed and listened. And when she became with child, Samuel's parents and everybody else knew that it was God. Everybody else knew. Everybody else knew about that. Her faith was great. Her prayer touched God's heart. And listen, whatever problems we have, you know, God already knew. God knew that she was barren, right? God knew that. Why did she need to pray? You know, if you just want to think practical things a little bit. Well, why did she need to pray? God already knew that she was trusting God. Her husband was a Levite working around the temple and tabernacle things. Why would she need to pray? You know, because God wants everybody else to know it. God knew her faith. Listen, faith will pray. But, her prayer touched God's heart. And what happened was when she became with child, everybody knew because of that prayer that it was God, because she'd been barren quite a long time. You think about Abraham and Sarah. Boy, I mean, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, and they became brand new parents. They became brand new parents. Boy, guess what? Everybody knew it was God. Everybody, it had to be God. And so that's why God does it that way. They knew it was from God. So we see commitment, we see confirmation from the parents about their dedication or how they love the Lord. And then we see clarification in verse 27 of our text, in verse 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Psalm 127:3 says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And she said, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. You know, really, I think it's the other way around. Listen, them children are God's. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That's what Jeremiah was said about Jeremiah. Before I formed thee, God said that. God's just lending them to us. Amen. God's lending them to us. We got them for a little while, and then we raise them up, and guess what? And they go out on their own. Hey, if you think you couldn't tell your kids anything when they were growing up in the house and they listened to you, try telling them when they're adults. We just had them a little while, right? We just had it. Think about that. Children really belong to the Lord already. They're God's. She's just giving them back. That's what she was really doing. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham 100, Sarah 90. Hadn't all them years. They probably got married very young. All them years they wanted a child. Sarah wanted a child. 90 when she got the child, right? And then God said, Abraham, I want you to take that child. She waited 90 or 100 years in his case for. Well, he didn't wait 100 years. He didn't want one when he was a baby. But I want you to take that child up on the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him there now. We know the rest of the story. We know God wasn't going to let him do it. We even knew it was illegal to do that. But that's what God said. And Abraham said, I'm going to do it. And he took the child up the mountain. And he laid that, he built the altar, and he laid that child on the altar, and he bound him, and he took a knife, and he was going to slay him, and the angel stopped him. He said, that's enough. God provided a sacrifice. There's a lot of stories in there and a lot of analogies that we can look at. But the point was that Abraham was willing to give that child to God. That's what God said that he wanted him to do. Think about that. All those years, every parent wants the best. Every parent wants their child to succeed in life. And no matter what it is, you know, how you define success, every child wants every parent wants their child to succeed. But let me tell you, the best thing you can do for your child is to give them back to God. Then there shall be great success, no matter what it is. It took a lot of faith for them to leave Samuel, both his parents, to leave Samuel in Eli's hands with those wicked sons that he had and the spiritual condition of the land. Look at the land we're living in today. But they trusted God to protect him and keep him from the wickedness of that day. They have to trust God. Look at us today. Man, you know, we got to have We got to have a lot of trust in this. Look at the world we're living in. Look at the influence that our kids, I don't care what you do, mom and dad, that evil influence out there, you can help it along, but it's still going to get in there somehow. There's things they need to know. And we just got to teach them about it, you know, tell them about it. But boy, we need to turn them over to God and turn them over to God early, put them in God's hands. And I'd rather give my child back to God than give my child over to this world out there for the world to have the will and way with them as well. And I'm telling you something, I pray, my kids are not here today, but I pray for my kids, and they usually are, but I pray for my children every day. I pray for my grandchildren every day. You know, I pray for the kids that we have a commitment here. We have a responsibility with whoever, if you trust in us with your children as far as the teaching and lessons and things that we, you know, well, you're trusting us with that, man. I mean, we don't take that lightly. I mean, you know, I pray for those children as well. We're going to give them the Word of God, and we should. So we see a clarification. The clarification is, who does the child really belong to? That child belongs to God. From the instant of conception, that child is God's, and it belongs to God, and He just loans them to us for a little while. And then there's the last thing is the claiming of God's promises. Samuel became one of God's greatest servants. Man, in that day, you think about that, Samuel, not only was he taking care of the word from God, thus saith the Lord, the spiritual side of things for the nation, he actually was the people they turned. He was the man they turned to for direction in the physical aspects of the nation, what direction they should be going in. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Samuel became what he was because he had dedicated parents. He had praying parents. He had teaching parents. He had serving parents. And he had parents that led him to the Lord. And that's why he became what he was. The future of a nation depends on the character of the home. And the character of the home depends on the spiritual life of the parents. Now, at this point in time, Carrie, if you can hear me or see me, come on down and bring Rory with you. If he starts crying, we're going to sing happy birthday once again. Hey, it worked. You know what was funny was we sang happy birthday and all the babies, they got quiet. We started singing the other songs and they cried. Can you figure that out? Maybe they heard us singing. That's probably what it was. I got some things I want to do and so I'm going to have them. Yeah, bring him on up here. Come on up here, Michael. I got some things. I already talked to them about this. This is little Rory right here. He's getting dedicated today. Actually, his parents are getting dedicated. So I had talked to them. We had a meeting at the house, and it was good, and we talked about this, and we talked about what we were going to do here. And so I got a little something here for the parents. I warned them already, so they're not going to fall over dead. But we got some vows right here. And so this is what I want to ask you, Mom and Dad. Do you promise to bring Rory up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Commit to providing a godly home, instruct Rory in the way of holiness, and live a life that will be an example for him to follow? We do. I believe this, and this is another thing I told him I was going to do. Now, this family just joined this church. They joined us last week. I mean, they've been coming here, I don't know, they've been a long time, pretty good time. And, I mean, right amount of time. They need to check us out and make sure but here's the thing. They joined up with us. And now they want to dedicate their child. And so there is a responsibility from the church. We have to commit ourselves to help them as they raise Rory up. And so we want to commit ourselves to that and whatever we can do for them. So church, this is a commitment. I've already committed you guys. Some of you need to be committed, by the way. I've already committed you guys to this. You know, I said, this is what we're going to do. Best of my ability, we're going to help them, and we're going to help raise him up. And so I want some of y'all to come up here. We can have it, ladies, if you want to come, some men. We want to lay our hands on this family. We want to pray for them, and we're going to pray for Rory as they raise him. Come on up around here. Gather around him, y'all. Church family, come on up here, some up. All of you, if you want to. Everybody can come up. We'll just get up here in a big old huddle and squash them. But we want to lay. Let me get over here where I can get by. I'm going to lay my hands on this boy right here, him and his daddy. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, for this family. Lord, they've come forward and they just want to dedicate themselves and dedicate their son to you, Lord. And I pray for wisdom for them Lord, raising a child in the world that we live in today, Lord, but we know we need you more than anything. And Lord, to help them set the example for him, Lord, and we're looking forward to what great things you can do, not only with him, but this family as well. We thank you for them. And Lord, so we can commit the whole family into your care. And we thank you so much for them, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you we can put our dependence on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There you go, boy. You're dedicated.
There you go, little buddy.
He's happy.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul. Amen. Well, with that being said, we're going to have our invitation like always. And, you know, I think it's a good time. I thought doing a dedication, I know sometimes churches, the way they do it, they'll just have a regular service and then at the end they have a little dedication ceremony. I wanted to preach the whole thing about it. And, you know, I think all of us, sometimes we have family, sometimes married couples do a renew their vows, you know, kind of renew their dedication. And that's not a bad thing, I think, to think about your wedding vows. And I think also our vows to the Lord, you know, when we were saved and we were baptized and we said we were going to trust and follow Jesus. And sometimes I think right now we can take some time out, maybe just dedicate ourselves. Back to, ultimately, one day Rory's going to have to make a decision for Jesus himself. His parents are going to set the example and they're going to do their best. And but one day he's going to have to call on Jesus' name for forgiveness of his sins if the Lord don't come back. And he's going to have to make that decision. And so my question to you is, have you made that decision? You know, now's as good a time as any. And if you have already, but maybe, you know, you kind of forgot about your commitment to the Lord and all that, maybe a good time to come down the altar. We got Brother Lynch coming next week. Gather around the altar and let's pray. Let's pray that God just speaks to our hearts and think about our commitment to him and think about our love for him or lack thereof sometimes. And I know we don't love him like we could and we don't love him like we should, but that's what you tell God. Lord, I know I don't love you like I could and should, and I want to. And Lord, so put that love in us. So let's pray. Paul, have invitation time. You come.